years since 67% of people voted in the 2018 referendum to abolish the constitutional impediment to making abortion available in this country to women. The decision of a vast majority to repeal the Eighth Amendment allows legislators to set out the parameters for making services available. The Termination of Pregnancy Act was signed into law in December of 2018. Now, a review of how the law is working in practice was commissioned by the government, and as you know, the barrister Marie O'Shea's report was published last week. It recommends changes to how the existing law is operating so that more GPs would sign up to providing the service, and also so that each of the 19 maternity hospitals in the country would provide abortion services. Currently, abortion is only available in 11 of the 19 hospitals. The report doesn't end there. Marie O'Shea also recommends a number of changes should be made to the existing law. This would do away with the existing mandatory 3-day waiting period intended to be a time of reflection. Current laws that could lead to criminal prosecution of medical personnel should be abolished, and the 28-day clause for fatal fetal anomalies should also be reviewed. The report has been referred to the Oireachtas Health Committee, which will now consider the legislative changes being recommended before the committee itself makes its own recommendations to the government. Yesterday, the pro-life campaign held its March for Life rally, which they say was in response to what they say are extreme recommendations contained in the report. Let's talk about this with Eilish Mulroy, a spokesperson for the pro-life campaign, and also with Ruth Coppinger of ROSA. A very good morning to both of you, and thank you for joining us on the programme. Eilish Mulroy, you said yesterday that this is guaranteed to become an election issue. Why so?
Thanks, Michael, for having me on the programme. I think, yeah, there's going to be a very big response to this. I think the recommendations in the report are very extreme. I don't think one has to be a no voter in 2018. We know that the 1 in 3 people voted no, but I don't think one has to be a no voter to think that these recommendations are very extreme. It was a very one-sided report. The recommendation to scrap the 3-day waiting period is reckless. The proposal to decriminalise abortion would, in effect, you know, clear the way for abortion to late term. And I think it's a real betrayal of women that there was nothing in the report to look at ways to reduce the abortion rate. We know now in the last first 4 years of the law, we've had nearly 30,000 abortions, 28,400. Like, you're nearly talking about the population of Navan. This is a massive, massive number. And that's despite the fact that prior to the abortion referendum, we were given assurances by the then Taoiseach and other senior members of government that the abortion numbers wouldn't change dramatically. And I think that the report would have been an opportunity, you know, to look at those numbers, but to look at helping women in unplanned pregnancy. You know, we're living in really straitened times financially, and people should never feel that they have to have an abortion because they're under pressure financially, or they're under pressure from their partners, or they're worried about their educational or, you know, their career, or et cetera. They really should feel more supported by the community and by the government. And the government right now, the My Options helpline, which is funded by the government, is not giving that information to women. It's not providing women with other choices. I think that's really, really difficult. And we talk to those people because we hear from those people in our work who say, I really wish somebody had offered me some help and I might have gone ahead and had my baby. So I think the government, this review was a really important thing. It was put into the legislation for a reason, to take a proper look at the abortion law after 3 years. That hasn't happened. It's been a flawed process throughout. The minister has only listened to one side of the story. You know, pro-abortion campaigning groups in the main has failed and refused to meet.
Let's hear the other side of the story, though. In fairness, Ruth Coppinger, do you believe that people made up their minds 5 years ago when they voted to repeal the Eighth, or do you agree with Eilish? This is a separate question, if you like, because it's far more extreme, as she puts it, than what was being proposed in the referendum.
Well, firstly, to say that, As you said, 67% of people voted, but they voted in huge numbers. More people voted in that referendum than voted in any before. So the country has spoken, and here we are 5 years later having a review. And in fairness, Eilish doesn't agree with any abortion services, but yet practically on every media coverage of this issue, somebody from the Pro-Life Amendment campaign or whose anti-abortion is brought on, as if we're still in the referendum and still having to debate it. So what I would say is this, Ireland's abortion law isn't extreme, it's far from it. And in fact, the Citizens' Assembly, which was a collection of 99 people, randomly selected, plus a judge, recommended much, much more. And what we have been given is what the politicians, who generally were Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and more establishment parties, were prepared to give. So, for example, Argentina granted abortion up to 14 weeks. Colombia has granted abortion up to 22 weeks. You know, so the idea that Ireland's abortion law is extreme, it isn't.
Mm.
So what I would say is this, and what's been found is, only 1 in 10 GPs are providing abortion for a whole number of reasons. And by the way, it's just a prescription. It's not actually, they're not carrying out abortions, you know. People are using safe medical abortion pills in their own homes for most abortions. And it's only if you go over a certain period or you can't use these medical abortion pills that you go to a hospital.
Do we know what percentage of pharmacies carry the tablets if 90% of the GPs aren't making the prescriptions?
I don't actually know that figure.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, you know, these pills are used obviously all over the world and they're extremely safe. And I think they were a game changer in providing abortion, because one of the things that Rosa, which I'm speaking for today, would have highlighted in the build-up to the referendum was the fact that hundreds of Irish women were using these pills illegally.
Mm.
And that's the other thing that I've heard, like the likes of David Quinn talking about figures of 8,500 being a shock, and Eilish said it there. I never said in the course of the referendum that abortion was going to be rare, because 1 in 3 women actually has an abortion in their lifetime. They just don't tell people about it because of the stigma and the shame that surrounds it.
Well, I don't think anybody can argue that the law is working as it was intended when 11 of the 19 maternity hospitals are providing abortion and 90% of doctors aren't writing the prescriptions, as you say. And that should be addressed. The government has said it will address that. And that's what people voted for, I suppose. And therein lies the problem for the party leaders. And we've heard reluctance on the part of Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, because they seem to feel that when they asked people to vote, they were voting for the legislation. They would vote to repeal the 8 on the basis that this was going to be the legislation. And in the legislation, there were safeguards put in place as they see it. And that was a commitment that they gave to people. And they don't want to welch on that commitment now.
There's 2 things I'd say on that. First of all, the idea that the country voted because of a 3-day waiting period in such huge numbers. You know, there may have been a certain number of people who did, but certainly it wasn't a feature on any doorstep that I spoke on. Most people, when you knocked on doors, talked about choice and the person who was in that situation making the decision. And no, we don't want a forced birth situation, you know, in Ireland. Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar have annoyed an awful lot of women by saying that, because number one, they can't even have read the report when they said it, because it had only just been released. And number two, we said we were having a review, and the reality is that 3-day wait, it's actually 2 visits more than 3-day wait, is creating a huge number of barriers, particularly the whole counties where women can't even find a GP to provide the service. So the 3-day wait was something that was introduced for politicians like Simon Coveney, who were a bit reluctant and they wanted to be seen to have barriers in the way so that they could argue that they would support it.
Mm.
It wasn't for the WHO doesn't agree with it.
Yeah, and if a woman went to see a GP on Wednesday or Thursday of last week, they'd only be able to go back for the second visit today, which is where it can get complicated and become more than the 3 days. Eilish Mulroy, I'm sure you want to come back on some of the points that Ruth Coppinger has been making.
First thing is, Ruth said that this law is not extreme. Even people like Anne Faraday, who Ruth would know, she was until recently the head of Britain's largest abortion provider, admitted in a tweet on the day that the referendum passed that Ireland's new abortion law was one of the most wide open to abortion laws anywhere in the world. Like, in surprise at that. That's the first thing. So to say it's not a very extreme law already is just not simply not correct. Ruth said she didn't give any assurances about abortion numbers before the referendum. That's fine, she didn't. But Ruth does understand as a political representative political accountability, and the Taoiseach did when he launched the campaign. The leader of the country gave that assurance. And to say that people didn't rely on what Simon Coveney said, Simon Coveney spoke up as a senior minister talking about how he was comfortable going ahead because of things like those limited safeguards, like the three-day wait, which we know incidentally might have
But the legislation calls for the review, just on those points that you're making before we lose sight of it. The legislation itself says this review must take place, and if the review finds problems, well then that's the finding of
and,
the review.
And you know, I wish the review did look at the problems. Like, why didn't the review look at the fact, I mean, Ruth and many colleagues voted against an amendment that would mandate fecal pain relief in late-term abortion, something we give to animals in this country. The minister at the time said it wasn't appropriate to discuss in the Dáil last year. It would be addressed in the context of the three-day review. There's three lines given to that issue in a 139-page report, and it's simply dismissed. So, you know, in the review of the law, it should be willing to go both ways. And it's really a one-way street, which is not surprising, given who the minister spoke to all the way through this process. He only met with pro-abortion campaigning groups like the National Women's Council, the Coalition for Clean the Eight, the IFPA. He didn't meet with any pro-life organisations, and I'm not even pro-life organisations. He didn't even meet with middle ground people. He didn't meet and had no interest in hearing the voices of women who've been through abortion and regret it, or the people who wish that somebody had offered them a helping hand at some stage, and that hasn't happened. And I want to say one thing as well. Ruth talked about, she said, it's just a prescription. I can't believe she said that on the radio. This is the ending of a human life, and it's a massive for a woman. And to say it's just a
it's dismissing it.
And the other thing is...
I think you know what she meant. She said, when we're talking about services being provided by doctors,
your problem before, we all agree abortion's not a great thing. Even no matter how we stand on the issue...
All she was saying was that the doctor just has to write a prescription. He doesn't carry out a physical procedure or anything like that. I want to go back to Ruth
Gominger. Fair enough, Michael, but I think we have to remember what's actually involved in abortion. It's about the ending of human life.
But 67% of people in the country agree that it should be accessible and available to women in the country. The question is how it is made available.
I don't think those people expected to have these kind of numbers, Michael. I really don't think they did. And I think that there's a lot of people who have buyer's remorse over the...
Right.
And we talk to those people. They say, I voted yes, but I can't believe what happened.
Okay. You said earlier on that you weren't surprised by the numbers, Ruth Coppinger.
No, because the numbers were always understated anyway, because the only numbers that we had were women, pregnant people who went to the UK and officially gave Irish addresses. There were also people who went to the UK and didn't give Irish addresses. They may have stayed with a relative there, used a different address because of the stigma.
Yeah, and very easier to go to other European countries with cheap flights.
Exactly,
and all that, yeah.
A lot of people were going to Holland, the Netherlands, but also, let's not forget, there were hundreds of people each year contacting women on web, hundreds more contacting Women Help Women. And they were mainly, by the way, because surveys showed that two-thirds of those were mothers already. So there were women who had considered and knew about all of the issues surrounding pregnancy, life, etc. And one of the issues that the anti-abortion people are bringing up now is other options need to be given. I mean, we've heard this for years. So, you know, Eilish, etc. is going to pay women to be able to carry through pregnancies. What are other options? Mother and baby homes, forced adoption. Like, we actually had all that in this country for a long, long time. And we're hearing about a one-way street. We had a one-way street for decades in this country where women were forced out in stigma, secrecy and shame, or they were, you know, forced to give up their babies, as we know. So now people have a choice, and the figures that we're seeing are no different, and they're probably lower than they were in the 1980s because of more widely available contraception.
Eilish, is it that you don't trust women with that choice?
Michael, you know, I think it's really interesting. I mean, Ruth is actually going back talking about the past now. There was a report in the Irish Examiner about a woman who was forced into a room This is a sexual assault treatment unit.
Okay, but what about the adult women that we're talking about in the main, I did ask you a question before you started to make that point, in fairness, which was, do you trust women with having that choice?
Look, abortion's in the country. You know, we accept that. Everybody
Do you trust women to have that choice?
It's about giving women every choice, and the idea that we feel that we're not allowed anymore at all, that the prevailing wind is just towards abortion, that's not about trusting women. And I mean, if you go back to
but do you respect women's choice to terminate a pregnancy?
Well, you know, I respect and understand the difficulties that women are in, and we hear from women who are in that tough situation. But there is no woman, I've never come across a woman who regrets having her baby, even through difficult circumstances. I've come across so many women over the years who regret having their abortion and who wish somebody actually offered her some help, rather than just telling her, you go ahead, it's your choice, plow ahead. Wish somebody had given them another option. But I really think that the pro-abortion campaigning or politicians and organizations don't care about the stories that give a bad press to abortion. Like, for example, the sexual assault treatment unit reports that said a girl under 18 was locked in a room and forced to take an abortion tablet. That was reported in the Irish Examiner last October. And I'm not hearing Ruth or any of her colleagues on the radio talking about that or drawing attention to that. So it is a one-way street.
Well, maybe Ruth Coppinger would want to respond to that. It's not something I'm aware of, I have to say.
I know, and these anecdotes are brought up all the time by these people. And, you know, to talk about somebody in a sexual assault situation, you know, the reality is we're here to talk about the abortion services. Now, I understand that Eilish doesn't agree with any of those services, but what we have found is that women, particularly outside of Dublin, can't get access in the way that everybody had hoped. And I want to mention as well that we could have still Civita-type scenarios arising again because of the chilling effect of criminalisation on doctors. There were no abortions, practically none, carried out on health grounds. That's quite worrying because we all know that the whole country was moved by, you know, situations that happened, such as what happened tragically to Civita. And also, the other problem has been that, you know, people going over the time period, as was said. But the other thing is the three-day wait hasn't been happening because of the pandemic. This is the laughable point. The sky has not fallen in. Because of the pandemic and because of the restrictions on GP services, they actually implemented telemedicine services, which is something that I fully support because it's been found there's no difference in outcome. This has been found by the WHO, the World Health Organization, from having telemedical consultation using abortion pills and going to a GP. So we're actually just creating unnecessary pressure on GP services.
And most women proceed anyway, don't they, after the 3 days?
Yeah, well, now, I've heard anti-abortion people citing the figure that thousands of women didn't go ahead because they didn't come back for the second visit. And the reason for that is that they were referred on to hospitals in many cases, or they may have had a miscarriage. You know, a huge number of pregnancies end in miscarriage naturally anyway. But yet these figures are just disingenuously used by the anti-choice side. I think there's a whole raft of other things that are mentioned in the report as well, by the way, you know, such as the 12 weeks. What we're actually finding is that people with really difficult medical diagnoses are still having to travel. Nobody in the country wanted that to continue, and it's continuing because doctors can't differentiate, or they fear differentiating because of the strictness of the law, between severe and fatal fetal abnormality, meaning that those people have to continue traveling abroad.
I got the sense from you that there was a sense of deja vu at the beginning of the programme, a sense of deja vu that perhaps we're all feeling this morning, because all of this we thought was settled 5 years ago. It'll now go to the Oireachtas Health Committee, and there's no limit to the time set on them taking to consider all of this before making recommendations to government. Should it be a bit tighter than all of that, do you think, Ruth Coppinger?
I think there's actually a case for a special committee rather than the health committee, which, you know, by the way, and I'm not saying men can't be pro-choice, they can be, but very few women on that committee, just as a matter of, you know, being representative.
But this is going to go on for the rest of this year, most likely, isn't it? This discussion.
Yeah, but I would say one thing. Like, we are out of a referendum. It's not a case that we have to have somebody on from the Pro-Life Amendment campaign every single time that this gets discussed. You know, the people did speak.
Yeah.
And now this should be just considering the problems in the law, the people that are being left behind by the laws. And that's what it should focus on.
Okay. Okay, I am surprised, a little bit surprised to hear you say that. Eilish Munro, you are very welcome. I know that you represent a number of people, and how all of that pans out is a different day's work. But would you like to see this dealt with in a quicker time frame than it seems is ahead of us? Because we're going to be debating this back and forth again for months on end.
Well, I think, you know, I agree, there's always kind of fatigue over this issue. But at the same time, Michael, I think this is a really important issue. You're talking about women's lives, really irreversible decisions, and the ending of unborn human beings' lives. So I think we can never talk about that enough. And I think in any democracy, we should always be happy to revisit these type of topics, you know, that are involved in life-ending procedures. It's hard to see how it will pan out. I mean, certainly what the Taoiseach has said is interesting. He acknowledges himself, I suppose, how extreme some of those recommendations are and sees difficulties getting it through the office. I think there will be a very big pushback against some of these recommendations going through the office. Mm. I think it is important, just I know, because Ruth raised it about the 3-day wait, those figures are actually from parliamentary questions, and I accept, and everyone accepts, that there will be a certain number of miscarriages. There's still a lot of lives saved, and I think that, or a lot of lives saved, and a lot of women change their minds, and I think that in any situation. I mean, you know, we encourage you to take time in those kind of life-changing situations.
Okay. Well, I think you made an important point as well, which is we really don't know how it's going to pan out because Marie O'Shea has made her recommendations. They go to the Health Committee. They'll make their recommendations. That'll go to the government. The government then will probably introduce some form of legislation, but then that has to be voted on by members of the Oireachtas for the most part, will have a free vote. So it could run for some time to come, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more arguments over the intervening time, but we have to leave it there and thank you both for your time and for joining us on the programme today. That was Eilish Mulroy, spokesperson with the Pro-Life campaign. We were also speaking with Ruth Coppinger, who's the spokesperson for Rosa. Already a number of people in touch with us, and you're welcome to have your say as well.